right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
The haunting 1980s theme music to the movie Tron.
Woo-wee!
Now, why on earth would we be playing that today?
Big things happening in the Tron world.
I was there.
I wasn't.
Where were you, sir?
Working.
Yes. And still, I can see from your clothing, you reap the benefits of my attending.
That is 100% correct.
So, we'll
catching
get more.
Catching a hefty price on the secondhand market, I hear.
Is it really?
That's what I hear. I don't know, like 20 bucks, 30 bucks? Maybe.
Oh, really?
I'm in that ballpark, yeah.
I would think that wouldn't be so much.
I know.
Wow, because I got
it. I'm just saying.
Anyway, we'll get into that a little later. Let's start off by saying this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 182, Toy Fair 2010, part 3, Finn.
Part 3,
Finn.
Thank God.
F-I-N, Finn.
It's been going on forever. It's been going on for longer than Toy Fair.
I know. Well, there was just so much to see.
I know.
So many people. You know what? You know what I hate though, that so many people will take the opportunity on other podcasts and shows and sites and things. Will take the opportunity to go, I saw these five things that were great over 2 days.
Right.
You know, we were there for. I mean, for us, it was three and a half days.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for us to squeeze all of the good stuff that we saw in 3.5 days into 1 hour would be impossible.
When all is said and done, we will have essentially done a 3-hour Toy Fair special.
Right.
Right? Is that what? Is
except
that,
you're all right, Gilligan.
All right. I'm Gilligan? Right. You know, that's a...
A 3-hour tour.
Wow. Can we just go right into it then?
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
You know, they're... It's
what?
It's coming to the big screen. I'm not even kidding. That was in the news today.
What is?
Gilligan's Island, a movie version.
Get out.
A modern day movie version of Gilligan's Island.
Uh-huh.
Just roll right into it. You set it up, so
it's beautiful.
There's nothing else to say.
That's it.
What else?
No information.
I don't
director
even
or writer.
I don't want to provide information. That's all there is to say. It's,
do you
it's
have
coming.
Any? Do you have any news on Indy 5?
No.
Well, I do. Apparently, Harrison Ford, George Lucas, and Steven Spielberg are in an agreement on what to do for the next Indiana Jones movie. And Harrison Ford said it's I can't remember what the exact quote was. I don't have it in front of me. Like, it's a heck of an idea or some antiquated speechology that he's using there. Like heck of a, you know, like 23 skidoo
right.
idea. And what he says is now usually in the process, they will all agree on an idea and then George will go away for a long time and come up with something. And then the three of them will meet again and come up with the more final thing. So
now, what point is the finger pointing and laughing? When does that happen?
That happens when Crystal Skull opens.
Oh, okay.
So whether that will continue with this movie or not, I don't know. Isn't Harrison Ford 86 years old now?
Something like that.
Because I'm telling you, he seems like he's slowing down and he's getting a little older. I'm a little afraid. It's
Harrison Ford and the Stroke of Doom?
Yeah, I was a little, during Crystal Skull, I was a little like, be careful, you're going to break your hip. Like, I was a little scared for Harrison Ford
and the Fragile Bones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Brittle Bones.
Sounds like a good title.
Indiana Jones and the Walker of Doom. You know, like, we could joke all day.
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Little Rascal.
I want to bring something else to your attention. Sure. I know I know this may be way too much news all at once.
All at once.
So when I was a kid and you were a zygote,
right?
A very popular toy line was the Shogun Warriors.
Okay.
They were 2 feet tall, plastic, giant Japanese robots. But back then, you know, it didn't matter so much that they were Japanese. They were just kind of robots. These days, they're more easily identified as Japanese robots. Back then, it was just sort of robots. And they had wheels on their feet, and they had some articulation in the arms, some weaponry, some spring-loaded things that occurred. The most famous one of which I think was one of their last ones, they actually did a Godzilla, which is very, very desirable these days.
These were put out by Mattel.
Yeah, I think they were imported by Mattel, maybe. Oh,
1979, Mattel licensed the Poppy Toy of Japan.
Right.
Which was a Bandai subsidiary at the time.
Uh-huh.
And brought them to the United States.
Well, there it is. And the Shogun Warriors were very popular. It was very cool to interact with your whatever toys. Because whatever toys you were playing with in 1970, well, you weren't playing with any in 1979. But whatever toys we were playing with in 1979... These Shogun Warriors were so big, you could interact with them with anything. Star Wars figures, Migos, kind of in their decline at that time, but still Migos, superheroes, and so on and so forth. And they were a lot of fun. Well, now, Frank over at Super 7 is the name of the company. A very good friend of ours has let us know that they are bringing them back. And the first one they're doing is the Star Wars Stormtrooper Super Shogun.
Lot of criticisms on this piece online.
Yeah, what are they saying? Well, let's say what it is first. So it's a Shogun Warrior. It looks just like a Stormtrooper, 24 inches tall. It's got the wheeled bottom, spring-loaded rocket punch firing fist, which is ironically one of the things that the Godzilla piece had also, and it makes the Godzilla piece so desirable if it has the hand, because the hand often went lost. They're using the same techniques that Japanese toy manufacturers did in the 70s to construct it. He's a durable, blow-molded, polyurethane-painted vinyl helmet. Figure has some articulation, neck, shoulders, has a the correct Blast-Tec E11 blaster rifle. So it has a whole bunch of features. If you like Japanese or you like Star Wars or you like both, I mean, you're not going to get a better piece than this. It's going to come in a great illustrated gift box with lots of iconic graphics from both the Shogun franchise and the Star Wars franchise. And each one of them is going to be numbered because there's going to be a one-time limited production run, and that is it. So there. Also going to include, they're calling it a special bonus, metallic foil stickers included for you to customize the torso with the character name in English or in Japanese.
Okay.
Yes. And I think they're taking pre-orders right now. And the price,
there it is,
$299.
There it is. That's the criticism.
Is that the criticism?
Pretty much everybody's like, wow, that looks fucking cool. Wow, not $300 cool.
Well,
that's the criticism.
I know. But in this day and age, sir, you have to say, you know, to get a collector's limited edition piece like this, you know, I know what you're going to say, but let me just say this. Let me just say my piece.
All right.
24 inches, about the same size as a quarter scale figure from Sideshow.
Right.
Right. Now, granted, this is no lifelike sculpting sort of thing.
No.
But that said, this is also a niche piece. It's very big. And it has a lot more going on in it than a Sideshow quarter scale does. For example, firing fist, moving parts, wheels on the bottom, all of these things cost additional money for them to put into the piece. So while I don't agree with the price necessarily, and it's a little high, you can't take away from the fact that it's a humongous thing and a great looking piece.
I think everybody agrees that it's a great looking piece.
Right.
I think that there is a strong concern, however, amongst the collector's market for the price. That seems to be the biggest criticism I've read on this piece. I've been following the piece since I started talking about it.
Right.
I'm on a week or two back.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest criticism, hands down, is the price. $300, hands down, is the second thing out of everybody. It's like, wow, $300. Oh. It's like,
right.
That's like the Twitter version of the, criticism.
Well, look, if you want to get in on this piece, you want to go over to super7store.com. It's super, the word, 7, the number, store.com. You can check out all the information, lots of pictures, lots of stuff going on over there at Super 7. And, yeah, we're really looking forward to it. We hope to get one to review here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff because I think it's going to be important for the retailer to know what they're getting into.
Oh, absolutely.
So hopefully we'll get one over here and we'll be able to give you more explicit details about the piece when they are released.
Absolutely. Wanted.
I got even more.
Oh, God.
I got even more.
Well,
Marvel.
You're just fancy.
Marvel.
Marvel? We don't talk about them on this show.
Oh, no. Well, especially not because we get vague threats or anything.
No.
No. We wouldn't be scared away from revealing who the secret Avengers are, would we?
Just because we know.
Just because we know exactly what happens at the end of Siege.
I feel as though this past week, I've grown a little and died a little at the
grown
same time.
Grown a little and got scared a little.
All at the same time.
I don't know, though. I feel really on the fence. So maybe we should let the listener in.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
No, I mean, what I mean is to let the listener into the situation to the extent that we're able.
Okay.
So we have information.
That's right.
We were advised not to use the information.
Right. We were advised by friends of the show who care about us and about the success of the show.
Exactly.
And us continuing forward in a positive, upward moving,
right,
not backwards canceling sort of way.
Yes, exactly. So, of course, we're on the fence about what to do about that situation because, as you know, we do not want to present anything, but the absolute truth in information as we can provide it, as well as our opinions, our unfettered, unpurchasable opinions, if you will. So we're at a crossroads.
Well,
now here's what we know. We know who the secret Avengers are.
We do.
Period. We know exactly who all of them are.
Yep.
We know exactly what's going on with that book. We know it all.
Yep.
And I can tell you right now, and it is, and that's who it is. Now, did you hear those beeps?
Yep.
Those are the security.
That's kicking in.
Yeah, that's the security. In fact, I don't know if you probably guys haven't noticed because why would you? But Just Mike,
mm-hmm.
not here today.
No.
Battling with other persons involved in this.
The forces of darkness.
Yes. Couldn't even be here for the show today because he had to be a part of the process of why shouldn't we release this information?
Right.
You want to know what happens at the end of Siege?
I know.
I'm going to tell you right now. You know, and then he... And that's how the stupid thing ends. Can you believe it?
And that ushers in the heroic age.
And that apparently that move ushers in the heroic age.
That's exactly what we know.
And they're
know what we know now.
And they're going to absolutely they're going to completely write off the character of
which makes sense. That might be the only good thing.
Which I thought was they were going to somehow turn that character into
nope.
Into a character that is owned by either Todd McFarlane or Neil Gaiman.
Dangerous road.
I'm just saying.
Slippery slope.
That's like a wide, right. wide field.
Right.
Or Marvel right. or this or, I mean. That, this.
I understand.
And
I'm
I have
you.
A really big problem with the fact that we were, in essence, warned it would not be good for us to release that information.
I want to stress, though, that the warning was
not from Marvel.
It was
no.
from a friend
yes.
who said, look, we've had some dealings with
right.
with these types of things in the past and this particular
yes. informant.
Informant.
Right.
And it is highly frowned upon by not only Marvel,
right.
but by some other people associated with outside of
Marvel subsidiaries
you
right
in other venues
right
possibly
right so there
so we're
it
trying
is.
To do the right we're trying to be responsible
yeah
which could be first time in 4 years
no
okay
no we were responsible one other time
nice
but I feel like we have to at least let them in on that so
all
that's
right.
what we're that's what we're so facing we're people. And one more piece of information.
Okay.
We are facing, after 4 years, some equipment issues here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The first time in 4 years?
It's,
wow.
We've
reached... really hope everybody listening to this episode is the first time they've ever listened to an episode.
Well, listen, then you've missed 181 really great episodes. that we managed to stick together with gum and scotch tape.
That's right.
And but we are facing we're absolutely at the end of our rope equipment wise, and what we need is we need your help.
are we at the begging stage?
Yeah, we're at the Big Kev's begathon.
Wow,
that's going to be that actually will be episode 183 is the Big Kev's begathon. Yeah, and if you'd like to help us keep this show up and running for you each and every week. We are in desperate need, unfortunately, of replacing some of our older equipment and
right.
Other things like that. We've met some costs and things that we need to cover, and we of course are asking for your help as a fan of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Head over to the website bigkevsgeekstuff.com. And over on the right-hand side, right towards the top-ish, is that where it is?
It's actually on the right-hand side towards the top-ish.
Yes. You'll find a donate button. And what we'd like is that if you could donate any amount, of course, that ends in two zeros.
Terrible.
What?
No.
I'm just saying we don't want to be greedy, but, you know, giving us 18 cents is kind. But not extraordinarily helpful. So
unless if, a lot of you give us 18 cents.
I know.
Cents.
Like if 2,000 of you give us 18 cents, no, that wouldn't work. But
that'd be all right. I'll take it.
It'd be okay. Be on our way a little bit. But that said, if there is any amount that you could donate, we would be enormously grateful. Of course, large donations are going to be part of the brand new Big Kev's Elite Circle.
Oh, really?
Of donators. Big Kev's Elite Circle. We're going to post more information during the Begathon about exactly what those levels are going to be, what sort of rewards will go with them, and so on and so forth. But don't hesitate. You can go over right now and help out the show. We hoped that we would never get to this point, but we're here and we're asking for your help. So there's that. That wraps up Big Kev's Geeks. No,
not even close.
I'm going to keep going. Okay. Marvel launching the Astonishing line of books. I'm going to read it. Well, I'm not going to read it. I'll paraphrase. After the success of the Joss Whedon, John Cassidy Astonishing X-Men, Marvel has decided to launch a whole new line of books with Astonishing in front of the title. And they say that these books are that they will be in continuity, which I think is
hullabaloo.
Wildly ironic for Marvel to say, but at the same time, sufficiently self-contained and self-explanatory as to serve as an entry into the Marvel Universe for readers who haven't delved into comic book continuity previously. Isn't that saying they are black, but they are white?
Yes.
They are on, but they are off. Yeah. They are... It makes no damn sense. And, of course, the first image they released is one from the brand new Astonishing X-Men Xenogenesis, which I don't know if that means it's a brand new ongoing title or if this is replacing Astonishing X-Men, or I'm not sure exactly how that works. Although I do know that the peeps working on the book, Warren Ellis and Care Andrews, and I think the picture is Care. It is. I'm not a really big fan of his women. I don't know if you've seen this or not. They've posted
That's
some
a little rough.
Yeah, they've posted some redesigns on here, and I'm not very fond of the art thus far. So we'll have to see what Care Andrews. I'm not familiar with him, unfortunately. Just Mike out fighting the forces of evil today, so couldn't be with us to help me remember Care. But that said, the line will begin though with the Astonishing Spider-Man Wolverine book.
Okay,
that's right, Spider-Man and Wolverine teaming up. Will they kill each other? Will they be chuckle buddies? Unbelievable.
Chuckle bunnies.
Jason Aaron and Adam Kubert will handle it. Well, at least it'll look pretty, even though it's the dumbest idea on the planet.
Chuckle Bunnies is ridiculously gay.
Just saying.
I'm just putting it out there.
You know who'd be good to be in a group book?
Who?
Moon Knight.
Good choice. Good choice.
Just saying.
Maybe he'll get his day.
Maybe Moon Knight will be in a group book someday.
He'll get his day.
I think I'm done now.
All right. Remember a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we talked about another Thing movie, John Carpenter's The Thing?
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Okay, so it's back on the forefront of news.
Okay.
It's going to be a prequel.
Prequel.
Not
right.
A reimagination. Not a sequel.
Not a what?
Reimagination.
Better.
But a prequel.
Okay.
So I guess in John Carpenter's The Thing, by the when it starts, I guess the shit has already hit the fan elsewhere in the world. If I remember correctly.
I don't recall. I thought they found something frozen in the ice.
When the thing starts, it starts out an American base station, but the investigation of where the thing has come from leads us to know something very bad has happened prior at a Norwegian base station. That's where the prequel is going to take place.
Oh, okay.
The Norwegian base station.
Got it.
So I guess if you're going to continue the thing, movie franchise. I'd rather a prequel than a reimagination. I hate that every time we talk about one of these movies, right? I'm going to point this out because I'm sure someone eventually is going to call us out on it or me on it. I hate that I have to feel like I have to concede something. Like last week we were talking about, or 2 weeks ago we were talking about Watchmen, and I was like, oh, well, I really don't want one, but if I have to have one, I'd rather it be, like that kind of.
I got you.
I feel like I'm in the same boat week after week with something that.
You feel a little whorish.
Yeah, like I don't.
Like you're being force fed.
I don't think I need more thing, but I guess if we do, then there's a story to be told before what happened in the original.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, but so there it is.
It's unfortunate that this is the crap we're spoon-fed, but rather this than, you know, starving. I don't know what the analogy is.
Well, moving along past the thing and into other sequels, prequels, and reimaginations that we've talked about in the past.
Yes.
Wanted 2, moving forward without Angelina Jolie.
Good.
Now, I'm not exactly sure why she's not going to be in it, but she's not going to be in it.
But nobody cares.
Nah.
I only like Bilbo. Bilbo Baggins is in it.
She finally done?
You know that?
She finally reached the point of doneness.
Well, one would hope. One would hope. I don't know. I've never been that huge a fan. I don't get it. You know, like the whole Angelina. I don't.
She was hot, or she is hot.
I'm not saying she is or isn't a good-looking woman or any of that sort of aesthetic stuff. I never thought much of her as a performer, really.
Okay.
You know, I'm trying to think if there was something that, you know, which I was like, wow, Angelina Jolie was really good in that movie.
Gia?
See, but that's what, but that's like the male go-to, you know what I mean? Like, of course you'd say Gia.
Well, yeah.
But it's not like she was a great actress in that movie or anything. You know, Hackers was a great movie.
No,
you know,
wasn't
like,
she nominated for, what was that? She played the reporter's wife in Iraq.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
something
that one, right?
Heart,
was she nominated for that?
Something
hard. I don't remember what it was called because I didn't see it.
Yeah, she might have been nominated for that. I thought she was, wasn't she nominated for the Clint Eastwood movie?
Oh,
Doppelganger?
Changeling.
Changeling. Well, Doppelganger.
Wow, Choppelganger.
Who is you?
Got D&D on the mind.
I know. We'll get there. Yeah. I never saw the big deal.
Moving on. Bill Murray was on David Letterman this past week.
Yeah, I taped it, but I didn't get a chance to watch
and
it.
And he talked a little bit about Ghostbusters 3.
Damn it.
He's going to be dead.
He's going to be dead?
They kill him in the beginning of the movie.
Who kills him?
They. The screenwriters, the movie itself, it doesn't say like if he gets killed by a Ghostbuster, but and then of course there are rumors surrounding it that he may appear in the movie as a ghost, but it also the tone that he kind of had during the entire interview was I believe it when I see it. Your Thor tone, for example.
Oh, like whether it comes out or
like
whether...
yeah, like I don't think he's convinced it's happening.
The movie,
yeah.
Or that
the movie
that he'll be dead.
The movie.
This has got to be a caveat of his, so he never has to do another one of these movies, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. He wants out. I think he was, although he said that he had a good time doing, in the interview, he said he enjoyed doing the video game.
Right.
But I just don't think he wants to get in that jumpsuit with that dumb pack on his back.
Well, look, I mean, doing a video game.
Not dumb because I think it's dumb, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but doing a video game is, you know, it's just doing a voice.
Yeah,
it's hanging out
voice.
With your friends and just talking into mics and hoping people will. Oh, yeah, I can see the fun in that.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, I heard a lot about this week.
Now, you heard the book, right?
Right.
It's coming out. Now, this is the same group that brought us Pride and Prejudice and Zombies,
correct.
I believe. And now, shortly after the release of the book, I think the book was just released. Also, it was released or announced, Tim Burton and Timur Bekmambetov will be working on a film adaptation of the book. Now, we heard that Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was being adapted too. Who was going to be in that? Was it
Natalie Portman?
Was it Natalie Portman, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, I guess these things are just hot.
I guess.
The theme is zombies are big right now. It's zombie chic. And
yes.
Vampires, I guess, are still chic right now with all the glowing, fucking sparkling vampires going on. So,
I tell you, I caught that movie the other day.
Did you? At any point in the movie, does it indicate that he's allergic to vagina?
No, did he say that?
That was in his interview with what, Vanity Fair or something. Yeah, that's, I'm allergic to vag.
Interesting.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
So there it is. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Seems kind of silly. Although, I'm not going to lie, I think I want to read it. I might download it on my BlackBerry.
Really?
And read it there. No, legit style.
Oh, legit style.
Amazon has a Kindle application.
You can read it on your BlackBerry?
Amazon,
yes,
released a Kindle application free of charge,
right,
for your BlackBerry.
Uh-huh.
And then you can go and purchase the electronic transfers
of
the
book.
Who
wants to read, like, a
It's
book?
Not that bad. The screen's not that bad. I looked at it. What? While I'm in the can? While I'm in the shitter?
Jeez.
Space Invaders.
The movie.
Coming to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Sometime in the next year or two.
Terrific.
Nope. We're not going to say anything else about it. That's it.
We're embarrassed that this is the news we have to report.
Oh no, it gets better. I'm gonna read a quote.
Okay.
You're gonna tell me what douchebag said it.
Brett Ratner.
I gotta read the quote first.
You said douchebag.
Definition of goosebumps. Oh, I should say this was said over Twitter also.
Uh-huh.
Definition of goosebumps. Pressing enter and watching a screenplay entitled Avengers come out of my printer. Guess the douchebag.
Brett Ratner.
No.
Wait, Avengers?
Yep.
And it's a douchebag. Joe Quesada.
There you go. Now you're cooking with Earl or something. Hot coals.
Why is Joe Quesada writing the Avengers screenplay?
Maybe he's not. Maybe he was just printing it. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
They're so far away from that. It would be immature of them to do that at this point without knowing how Thor's going to do or Cap, or it's premature.
Born during the Great Depression, Steve Rogers grew up a frail youth in a poor family. Horrified by the newsreel footage of the Nazis in Europe, Rogers was inspired to enlist in the army. However, because of his frailty and sickness, he was rejected. Overhearing the boy's earnest plea, General Chester Phillips offered Rogers the opportunity to take part in a special experiment, Operation Rebirth. After weeks of tests, Rogers was at last administered the super soldier serum and bombarded by Vita Rays. Vita Rays? Vita Rays?
It's Vita Rays like vitamins.
Steve Rogers emerged from the treatment with a body as perfect as a body can be and still be human. Rogers was then put through an intensive physical and tactical training program. 3 months later, he was given his first assignment as Captain America. Armed with an indestructible shield and battle-savvy, Captain America has continued his war against evil, both as a sentinel of liberty and as a leader of the Avengers. That is the official synopsis of Cap, the first Avenger.
Okay. No.
You could say no. That's what it is. You could disagree with it. That's what it is. That's the official.
And let's see if we actually get
that. The official synopsis of what the film is going to be.
Let's see if we actually get that.
All right.
Geek stuff. DVD news.
DVDs to check out this week. I have a pair.
Okay.
Really quickly to go through, because we got a lot to do in that last bit of Toy Fair this week. 2012. A film by Roland Emmerich. They're calling it the best disaster movie ever made.
Really?
Yeah, well, it did very well, as I recall. John Cusack is in it, amongst others. Amanda Peet, Oliver Platt, Thandi Newton, Danny Glover, Woody Harrelson. There's it is a 70s disaster movie with tons of stars in it.
Roland Emmerich bringing it to the big screen.
The Brig screen?
The Brig screen. My mush mouth. I suck.
I got the two-disc special edition on Blu-ray. Someday I'll be able to watch it. Also coming out this week, Where the Wild Things
Woo-hoo!
Are.
Yeah!
Yes. And let me tell you, I got the 3-disc version, sir.
Is this the cheat disc version?
No, I don't know if it's the 3. I don't know if it's 3 discs or not exactly, but I will tell you this. Blu-ray and standard DVD.
Well, that's
good for me, cuz that means I'll actually get to watch this movie.
You can actually enjoy it. Yay!
Where the Wild Things Are, of course, from the children's book by Lawrence Sedak. Isn't that what his name is?
Sedak.
Morris.
Morris, yes, not Lawrence.
Morris. And directed by Spike Jones. An awesome cinematic achievement, I thought, with regards to effects and...
Gorgeous, beautiful film.
Yes. The puppets.
I shall be picking up mine this week as well.
Will you?
I will.
And what else came out on DVD?
Big Disney push this week.
Oh, yeah.
For Miyazaki, with
sorta.
Some exceptions. Ponyo, which is a film that came out in theaters last year, got its Disney Blu-ray release this week.
Right.
In addition to My Neighbor Totoro, Castle in the Sky, and Kiki's Delivery Service.
Right.
But, strangely missing from that list... is
the first two that really took off in this country.
Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away.
There you
what
go.
The fuck?
I don't get it.
I want a Blu-ray version of Princess Mononoke. I hated Spirited Away. I don't care, Miyazaki fans.
What about
go
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind?
Yeah, I'm less surprised that they didn't do Nausicaa.
Well, only because it's, like
only it's
30
a little,
years
yeah.
old.
It's still a brilliant, it's still gorgeous,
oh, yeah,
brilliant
awesome,
film.
Awesome, awesome movie.
But no Princess Mononoke? For shame, Disney. Disney not own the rights to that one?
I thought
maybe that's what it is.
Well, it could be, but I thought Disney was the distributor of
Studio
Ghibli.
I thought so too, but maybe
It started with Spirited Away and that was it.
I don't know.
Well, I know
but Spirited
I'm
Away
reasonably
isn't
sure
in there too.
I'm reasonably sure it started with Spirited Away, unless I'm completely wrong about that.
I don't know.
Could it be that Spirited Away did so well that they entered into an agreement with Disney after Spirited Away, and that's why we haven't got the other two? That's possible.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could
I love Princess Mononoke, and as we all well know, if you've ever listened to this show, I'm not the biggest anime or manga fan. So the fact that I actually like that one and they're releasing all the rest of them mostly from that studio, but the one that I like is a little hurtful.
Yeah, I don't know why. And actually, we didn't say Howl's Moving Castle, right? We said Castle in the Sky,
Castle
but not
in the
Howl's
Sky.
So Howl's Moving Castle, also missing from that list. That's three pretty big titles. That's pretty surprising to me.
Again, Howl's Moving Castle out a long time also, so I'm starting to...
2004 was Howl's Moving Castle.
I thought that was Castle in the Sky.
No.
Was that Howl's Moving Castle?
Yeah.
Are they the same thing?
No.
Okay. Because that would have answered that.
My Neighbor Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service are older than that.
Yeah, that's
My
true.
Neighbor Totoro is 88. And
so,
Kiki's Delivery Service is like 90s,
right.
I think.
So in other words, no logical reason behind what's
no,
going
not,
on
not
here.
At all. I don't know, man. That's strange. But still, if you're a Miyazaki fan.
Mia.
Yeah, somebody. If you're a fan of that dude, go get them. Also out this week on Blu-ray, Neverending Story. Although we may want to mention if you're a fan of that.
Yeah.
There it is.
Blech.
Blech.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week include Detective Comics 862 with the second feature, The Question. Now it's back to being... Now, is it back to being Batman in here or Batwoman still, or is it both, or I'm a little confused.
How do I know?
A little confused. I think Batwoman may still be. It's kind of been back and forth the last couple of months, so I'm not really sure, but check it out just the same. It's a great book. From Dynamite Entertainment, we got a couple from Dynamite Entertainment this week.
Of course, we
want to mention Zorro, number 20. The ongoing adventures of the great pulp hero swordsman of the Old West. Or it's actually older than the Old West, isn't it?
Yes.
But there it is. It continues. It really is a terrific book from Dynamite. You like the pulpy stuff, you're going to like that. And speaking of pulpy stuff, sir,
yes.
It's here. Kevin Smith's Green Hornet.
Woohoo!
Issue number one. Comes with three different covers. I went for the Alex Ross cover, which comes as a surprise to no one. Script by Kevin Smith. Breakdowns by Phil Hester. Pencils by Jonathan Lau, who I have to say has done a nice job. The art inside looks very, very nice. I was a little concerned about how the art was going to be, I have to say. And again, 1, 2, 3, 4 covers on this book. Yeah. So there it is. Green Hornet number one. I'm very excited to read it. I'm a huge Green Hornet fan. I am a huge Kevin Smith fan. So, those two worlds have collided. That's going to be an exciting book. And rounding out our books this week, it's Phantom Generations number 9. This is chapter 9, The Slave Trade. Now, what we've said about this book is it's a the left-hand side is the text, if you will, and the right-hand side are large splash pages. So it's a different kind of book, but still it's The Phantom. And it's a terrific read, so you should check it out. The Phantom Generations, number 9. Mike Barron, Mike Bullock, and Alex Sivuch handling the responsibilities therein. And that's it for comics this week.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other, you know, titles that came out, but they're all kind of... Normally, it's stuff that just Mike brings to the table.
Oh, hey, hold on. Hold on 1 second. OG, that is the...
I know what it is.
It's the D&D intro music. We haven't heard that in a while, but there it is. That must be time. It must be time for our D&D update of the week. And boy, do we have a doozy scoop for you, D&D fans. Of course, D&D is Dungeons & Dragons being made by Wizards of the Coast. You can go to wizards.com/D&D, or you can go to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com for information on this and other fine Dungeons & Dragons products. Here it is. We actually got a scoop this time, OG. This book comes out March 16th.
We can talk about this one?
Yeah.
No, I meant this scoop.
Yeah, this one we can talk about.
Okay.
No beeps.
All right. Nice.
I missed where you were going with that for a second. It's the Player's Handbook 3.
Okay.
Doo-doo-doo. It comes out March 16th, as I said. And what they're doing is brilliant. Rather than doing a couple of pages, let's say a small chapter on stuff that is significant D&D information from the past, they have spread out the players' handbooks in order to cover these things fully and completely.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Right. So this book covers the often maligned, the oft underused, and spoken poorly about, which is maligned, psionics. Now, what are psionics? Psionics are...
mental patients.
The powers of the mind. And in this book, they are covering the psionic power, its origins, how it affects the universe, the D&D universe, and so on and so forth. And it's very exciting. Now, when OG and I used to play
back in the day,
Dragons, right? And I was a DM also back in the day. Everyone got a chance to have psionics by rolling a 100-sided die.
Actually, it wasn't even you didn't have a choice. You had to roll.
You had to roll.
You might be one even if you didn't want to.
That's right. And if you rolled, what was it, 1 or 100?
It was 100.
It was 100. If you rolled 100, you had psionics, which means I granted that you could go to the psionics section of whatever player's handbook was out at that time and get some powers and figure it all out, except for... I use it as a degenerative mental disorder.
Right.
Right, which made it fun. Now, what the new D&D people have done is they said, well, you know what? We're going to make it so interesting. We're going to make it so exciting. We're going to have to do a whole player's handbook on psionics.
Right.
And you know what? If you think about it, it could be its own book. You know, the whole powers of the mind thing. And they've gone even further than that, OG, by introducing new character races and new character classes who are, what would you say, woven with psionics. It's part of their being.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's talk about them real quick.
Okay.
The Githzerai are disciplined aesthetics living amid a turbulent of the elemental chaos. So there you go. They are the sworn foes of their kindred race, the Githyanki, which you may remember from old school D&D, yep. The Fiend Folio. Everyone liked the way they looked in the Fiend Folio. As well as Mind Flayers that once enslaved them. Yeah, so there it is. They're kind of a weird looking people. You know what you got to think? Think of the guys on the sail barge in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
what
the
are they?
Skiff guards.
Yeah, but what were they?
Weequay.
Yeah.
Oh, Weequay was the race, and was it Klaatu, Virata, and Niktu were their names?
Is that what it was? Yeah, they're Weequay pirates, I think is what they are. Well, think that's kind of what these guys look like, sort of. Also coming this time around are the Minotaurs. Now, everyone knows what a Minotaur is, a hulking, beast-headed folk whose physical form represents the internal war they wage between civilization and the rampaging beast in their innermost nature. So somehow the psionics are maybe they're keeping all this in check. You're going to learn more when you read the book out there. Shard minds are crystalline creatures formed of physical and psychic fragments of an ancient entity called the Living Gate. So this is basically, shard minds are, they're kind of a being made up of crystals that are kind of held together by this psionic sort of energy force. And they are indeed part of a larger being. And it's very interesting stuff.
Very intricate, it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, the Wilden are plant-like fey creatures newly arisen in the fey world to combat the spread of the far realm's influence. Not sure what that is, but these are kind of plant people. They have hard wooden bones. They have kind of tenderly barky skin.
Okay.
And like some leaves and shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Weird, right?
A little bit strange.
It's very creative, though. I mean, these are the kind of opportunities you want to give players the opportunity to explore in a game like Dungeons & Dragons.
Absolutely.
I mean, playing a plant person might be a very interesting challenge. And again, of course, the whole psionics, the whole, you know, plants and oneness with the universe and everything else, it all ties in very nicely. They've also listed some new character classes that tie in with psionics as well. The Ardent is a psionic leader who manipulates the emotions of allies and enemies alike. The Battle Mind, a psionic defender who exercises the power of the mind to control the body. Returning after long last, the Monk, a psionic striker who combines focused melee attacks, often made unarmed, with incredible feats of movement and agility. I always liked monks.
Yeah, it's...
But I always hated them.
They brought monks back, like, 3.0, and then got rid of them again,
right.
And then... Yeah, monks.
They always kind of been monks. on the bubble, is that the expression?
Yeah, because they're fighter priests.
Yeah, sort of.
Right? They're kind of like a double class, almost.
Right. Sponsored by Toyota, the Zion is...
No.
I don't believe it's sponsored. It's spelled differently, too. It's just a joke.
This character moves forward whether you want to or not.
I don't think is Zion Toyota?
No, I don't think so. But you said Toyota, so I went with it.
The Zion is a psych.
It's the Scion, not the Zion, by the way.
Right. Well, this is Psion.
Ah, all right.
Is a psionic controller who uses mental powers to move objects or opponents or to bend foes' minds to his or her will.
Professor X.
One might say. Rune Priest, a divine leader who uses mystical runes of the gods to form prayers and of warding and destruction. A Seeker, controls who calls on nature spirits to imbue arrows and other projectiles with primal power.
Also, his object is to get the ball in Quidditch.
Yes, good one. Yes, that's it. So there you go. Just the taste of all the information you're going to find in the brand new Player's Handbook 3, Psionic, Divine, and Primal Heroes.
Well, D&D, Wizards always giving us awesome new content. Again, you know, I think that this latest incarnation of D&D is probably one of the finest ones they've developed.
Well, it's certainly got more information than one could shake several sticks at.
I think that they've done a really good job developing it, fleshing it out, really making it an all-encompassing world. And I still petition, however, for Shitty Dragon Inn. Just putting it out there. One day.
Over 200 pages. Going to run you $35. It's well worth it. From Wizards of the Coast. To check out more information on this or other D&D products, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
And with that, we will take our first break and return. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 182, New York International Toy Fair 2010, part 3, Fiend.
Matt, I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean, a fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite jelly bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Strawberry daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 182, New York International Toy Fair 2010, part 3, Fiend.
Yes.
There's only a handful of companies left to talk about. One really big one. A couple of peppers on a couple of, and by really big one, I don't mean that the other ones are less important. I just mean, you know,
right,
less stuff,
sure,
per se, and then that's it. We're done.
Good.
It's coming up.
Let's finish it up.
Big one first, little ones first. Your pick.
DC Direct.
All right, DC first. We saw everything at DC this year. There was a lot of it.
Yes.
Joker
quarter scale.
I was gonna say we just got to start off the game.
I just got to go right there.
No, go.
Joker quarter scale. An absolutely beautiful piece. Now, this is the third or fourth, I think, quarter scale that they've done. They did Batman, Wonder Woman. I keep thinking Green Lantern also, but I don't remember if that's correct or not.
Yeah, I don't remember on that one.
In any case, they've now reached the Joker, and the piece is awesome. Standing there in all his...
glory?
Yes, the Clown Prince of Crime, leaning on the plunger... a dynamite plunger and the base all made of dynamite.
All made of dynamite. We don't know if it was finalized yet, right? But some of that dynamite was loose. So you can kind of position it the way you wanted it to.
I don't think that was the final version of that piece.
But a great, gorgeous looking piece. I mean, obviously for Joker fans, but DC fans in general. Batman Black and White continuing.
Yes.
Three pieces in particular we want to point out.
Uh-huh.
First off, two new villains. In the Batman Black and White line.
Right. Man-Bat we saw.
And Catwoman.
And Catwoman. I think the Catwoman is coming first.
And then what I'm calling the really exciting piece is the Batman Arkham Asylum Batman Black and White. And I'm saying that's really exciting because we are all clamoring for Arkham Asylum figures. So they're moving forward with it at least in the form of this statue.
And I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay. I know. You don't like it.
I'm going to remind you of how you felt about the Batman Black and White from...
I wasn't opposed to that one.
The animated series?
No, you were opposed to that one. My opinion on that was the same with this.
Okay.
That it is an incarnation of Batman. The only catch to it is that it's not based on a single artist rendition, unless there was a single artist that did the artwork for that game or designed the game.
Well, one assumes.
One would assume. So when technically speaking, it is that.
Okay.
But I'm happy to see anything come from Arkham Asylum. Game was awesome. Character designs were awesome. We still want figures, though.
And we are very happy, of course, to have any new Batman black and white pieces, which are, they're about quarterly now, right?
I think quarterly is kind of where we've been going with this for a while. So, also we saw, a couple of the new Blackest Night figures, a couple of which really, really stood out.
Okay.
I would say to you, at the very least, Deadman, and Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Yes.
Hawkman and Hawkgirl looked with the bony wings.
Yeah.
And the
fucking, yeah.
Those because are hot looking
those
figures.
Those are the Black Lantern Hawkman, Black Lantern Hawkgirl.
And then Black Lantern Deadman also.
Deadman, yeah, which is ironically, it's just ironic. The dead guy is dead. It's kind of weird. But yeah, they were amazing looking action figures. Amazing. The 6-inch scale, as we said, masterfully done by DC Direct, trying to capture the feel of the artist's art on which the figures are based, and these are no exceptions. So, bravo.
Sticking with the Green Lantern based product, we also saw a new ring set. Now, for those of you who may or may not remember, for a while there, when you were going to pick up your issue of Blackest Night at the comic book store, you got a
ring. Different color ring, depending on, there was a book you had to buy in order to get the colored ring.
Well, they're putting out a full set of the rings, but these ones light up. They come in a nice little display box. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's, if you were a collector of those, clearly you'd want to be a collector of these as well.
Right.
Simply because of A, the great display box, and B, the light up features.
Right.
Really neat.
Terrific.
And then we also saw Sinestro's lantern.
Right, which is essentially the old lantern, the old Green Lantern prop replica. It was one of the first ones that I recall them doing a long time ago, but now done in yellow.
Right.
So fans of the Big Bang Theory will remember recently that prop replica was featured on the show. It's that one, but in yellow.
Right. Moving on, we saw more Blamoids.
Yes, Blamoids, a lot more Blamoids.
Continuing. Now, we're going to take a quick step aside here.
Okay.
Because if you remember when we were first reviewed Blamoids,
uh-huh.
we sent out a request
right.
to our friends over at Toy Break and asked them to classify these, what they would call them. And I thought we've been kind of saving it, and I thought this would be a good time to mention it, no?
Right. And the reason that we, did that was because we were unsure, because the Blamoids have one basic form, and then it's kind of
customized based on the figure.
To the character, yeah. So
George from October Toys and Toy Break said they are mass market platform toys.
Okay.
And Aileen said they are designer knockoff toys. So there you go.
So neither one of them kind of likes them.
Well, mass market platform toys isn't.
That's
descriptive. Yeah, it's
right.
Descriptive.
Mighty Mugs, same thing.
Yeah, Malos, Mighty Mugs, right. That kind of thing.
Malos. You said mass Malos. Market.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. My bad. Anyway, so we saw Blamoids line continuing.
Right.
Some great stuff coming.
A lot
out
of great characters coming.
And we'll
out.
Talk about those as they come out.
Yeah, and they're cute.
The Amikami line also continuing.
Right.
We saw some really great figures, but there's two in particular we kind of wanted to point out during our little review.
Uh-huh.
One is the Robin figure, which looks great. Just an awesome sculpt, continuing that Amikami tradition.
Right.
And you can see the pictures of her online on our website, actually. But the one we really wanted to stress was Batman. This is the first male figure now that they're doing in this line. And damn, are they doing a fine job.
Uh-huh.
He looks really solid, great sculpt, great paint.
Very different.
It's you could tell that it's influenced by that Japanese anime style.
Right.
And, you know, again, if you're a fan of this line, definitely two pieces you want to check out.
Sure.
We also saw is this quarter scale now or the Michael Keaton Batman?
No, it's a regular. It's actually a continuation of the statue series that they've been doing.
Christopher Reeve Superman
right.
and
Linda Carter
Wonder Woman.
And now they've done a Michael Keaton Batman. Yeah, they're all kind of 12 inches tall. I guess you'd call them their movie. What'd you call them? Like their movie statue line, I guess, for
right.
lack of a better word. And and he looks, you know, like Michael Keaton Batman. It's actually a really nice piece if you're a fan of the Keaton Batman films. You'll like this piece.
From there, we move into the DC Unlimited stuff that we saw. There were three licenses that we saw.
Right.
Right. Two of which we couldn't actually photograph, but we can mention.
Right.
There was StarCraft II.
Uh-huh.
Which
makes sense because they have the World of Warcraft.
There is more Warcraft pieces.
Right. More World of Warcraft pieces coming, of course. They seem to be very popular with the World of Warcraft players and fans, both the online, the card games, and so on. They're exquisitely sculpted pieces.
And also Dragon Age.
Right. Dragon Age. Another great video game franchise, well, not franchise, but another great video game license, that's the word, for DC to have picked up. And it looks like as far as the figure concepts go, it looks like a home run.
And again, what we're going to do is we're going to post the image gallery of what we took at the DC showroom. And if there's something you see that we didn't talk about here just now, but you want us to elaborate on, certainly you can do that. You can give us a phone call at 425-920-6050. Let us know what piece you want a little bit more information on, and we'll get that to you in a future episode.
Yeah, we can do that. And also, don't forget that you can check out the images as you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, if you do so on an iPod or an iPhone or iTunes or QuickTime. And you can check out the picture gallery for this particular episode, 182, over at the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. So check that out.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Shocker Toys.
Shocker.
We saw some new stuff from Shocker. A couple of new licenses. We saw
our friend
Series
Jeff Beckett.
2 and 3, right, of Indie Spotlight while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I hear Shocker Toys now going to be available in Toys R Us, I think, starting in the next couple weeks.
I heard some sort of terrible rumor like that. Yeah,
I think it was confirmed, actually, earlier today by Jeff himself. So, but, look, the Indie Spotlight line has been a great success. Some really classic pieces in there.
It depends on who you ask.
Well,
the naysayers will call it, you know, the naysayers called the characters unposable, which I find so bloody ironic.
That's the Scud figure, still one of the best articulated figures I've ever seen. Hands down. Sorry to say.
Considering the fact that this is not a, you know, that their translation of that 2D character into 3D was really good. And then to make it as posable as it was to achieve all of those unrealistic poses, I mean, at some point, the naysayers have got to shut up.
Yeah, I mean, and even if you got one of those Scuds that was a little fragile, as I understand it, I think Shocker may have had some sort of replacement program that they had set up through
Did
their
they?
Website. Yeah, I believe so. So you could probably go over there and find out more information on that. But they picked up a new independent license, Laser Man, I think it was. I wasn't really familiar with the book, but the piece looked nice. New model is coming out. That all looked nice.
Isn't there a classics line or a Golden Age?
Golden Age, something? Right. Which is that Series 3 or is that a separate line?
I thought that was a separate line. Because it wasn't Series 3. We noticed, wasn't Zorro in Series 3?
Yes, Zorro was in Series 3.
So...
But I think we're probably going to get Jeff on the show in an upcoming episode a couple weeks down the line. We'll talk a little bit more about
Shocker. Yeah, and he'll be able
Shocker
to give us
then.
More information, so that'll be good.
Okay. NECA.
Yeah, NECA.
Lots of stuff at NECA.
Lots of stuff. Harry Potter continuing in 6-inch and other things as well. Lots of product.
NECA also picked up the license. No surprise here. Jonah Hex. Clash of the Titans. We saw figures from both of those lines.
Right.
Again, they continue to look awesome.
They're expanding their Terminator line.
Yeah, the John Malkovich piece.
Oh, yes. From
Jonah Hex.
Right.
Wow. That's an awesome looking piece. Yeah. That piece looked... First of all, we were like, who is that? Is that...
And then the moment that someone said John Malkovich, was like, of course it's John Malkovich.
Holy shit, that's John Malkovich. Yeah. So, the Josh Brolin, the scarification,
right.
I mean, just Megan Fox.
Terrific stuff.
All of them look great. Continuing of the Terminator line, a couple new Predator pieces we saw.
Also, we should say for some of these licenses also, there is some replica product as well, some swords and some other things that we saw there as well.
the BioShock stuff. But video game lines, I mean, God of War, I think, was continuing.
Right.
But the BioShock stuff, Big Daddy.
Wow.
Wow, that's an awesome piece. If you are a fan of that game, that is definitely the way
to
go.
And some of that stuff we saw is now available, but the stuff that's coming is phenomenal. So, yeah, terrific stuff. Lots of, also a lot of one-off video game license stuff like that we've talked about in the past, like, what was that, Assassin's Creed.
Right.
You know, kind of one-off stuff like that. It seems like some more of that is continuing as well. I don't know if they have a specific name for that line or not.
They did. But I don't remember what it was.
I don't know that they're still
using it. Probably one of the biggest things we saw in the NECA booth, though, was NECA now has HeroClix, right?
Yes.
Is that correct? And we didn't see them, but we heard about, or we got more information on, the Watchmen pieces.
Yes.
Now, there's going to be... regular release of the Watchmen pieces, uh-huh, like they've done in the past.
Right.
Then there's going to be a special set.
Some sort of collector's set.
Right. I forgot the exact number of pieces in that set. But
a lot.
It's a lot. I think you're pretty much going to get a full run of characters in one complete set.
Right.
And they will, our understanding is, the ones that come in the set will vary from the ones that are released loose. So different sculpt, probably some changes on the abilities and the powers and stuff, like how they work and the stats on them and stuff like that. And then also, of course, the thing everybody wanted to know about, the ginormous, uber-scaled Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
Of which we learned there is two that are planned, right?
I think they said that there were two different ones planned.
One is a con exclusive.
Possibly.
And one is a regular release.
Right.
I believe.
Yeah.
So we know for sure that there's a regular release, and then there's speculation and rumor that there may be a con exclusive, and San Diego obviously is the one that people seem to be leaning towards, although NECA did not confirm
that. I thought the rumor
was
that the con one might be translucent or something.
Yeah. And
some sort of different.
And also, I think we had heard that it might be, is it Vietnam? With like planes and him
like
kicking trucks, helicopters and stuff like
that. I think we did hear that.
So again, though, that was not confirmed yet. That is just the speculation at this point. So that's NECA.
We'll follow up. We'll definitely follow up on that because that's very interesting.
We got three more things we got to hit on pretty quick. And
bang,
then we're
bang,
done.
Bang, sir.
Done. Idols.
Yes.
New customizable line coming out.
What did October Toys call these?
I don't know what they called these. They reviewed them on their show, though.
I know, they did.
You know what? They're great pieces. The first one to come out in the line was Gruntor. We got a Comic-Con exclusive version of Gruntor while we were there. So that's definitely a line that we will be covering more as it comes out.
And again, that's more the designer.
Yeah,
it's not vinyl, though.
No, I think it's PVC.
Right. But again, kind of the same one form, but... customized or different.
They're like tiki gods.
Right.
And they come with interchangeable hands and legs and weapons and accessories. And you can stack them and you can pose them. You can make a little idol necklace a la the Brady Bunch.
Ooh.
Exactly. So idols was something we saw. The last thing that we saw, right?
You said we had three more.
Yeah, we're going to save one.
All right.
Because we have some more news updates coming on this other one. So we'll save it. Maybe we'll dedicate a little bit more time to it because it's pretty exciting.
Right.
So we'll do one more now.
Okay.
This falls into the category of shit we don't expect to see, but don't want to leave the booth once we find it.
Right.
At Toy Fair.
Right.
Uber sticks. Screw Lego. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're
all right.
Not really.
That's all I'm saying.
That franchise on this program.
That's all I'm saying. Uber sticks.
Right.
So this is a new building system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Unique pieces build things.
Right.
And we're coming around the bend at a row, and we see this humongous cityscape.
Right.
Buildings.
Paul,
towers,
3, 4, 5 foot buildings,
and a steampunky.
Looking
Jules Verne kind of inspired by monorail system.
Right.
Right? With this really elaborate track and these really awesome piece. And we started talking to the guy, and we're going to cover Uber sticks in much more depth.
Oh, yes.
Going
absolutely.
Forward. But But it is a new build system. I think it's got like 6 or 7 basic components.
Right.
And then you kind of build from there. It comes with like a cutter so that you can actually cut pieces to certain sizes, because the pieces really are, they're generic. You know, like it's like a 2-inch or a 3-inch piece. Right. And if you need a 1-inch version of that piece, you get the cutter. You snip it.
It's weird.
You build, I mean, just, you will see some great pictures in the photo gallery for the Uber Sticks.
A lot of great pictures.
And you can consider this a tease
of
what's to come, but I thought we should mention them here real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And we were actually, we had to make sure that we judged ourselves time-wise so that we didn't spend all night talking about how cool and potentially great Uber Sticks were. I think you may see some Uber Sticks in some upcoming Studio V segments as well, sir.
We need to do more of those.
In fact, you may see them in all upcoming Studio V segments. That's all I'm saying for right now.
Hells yes!
That's all I'm saying for right now.
I think that ends Toy Fair.
Thank God.
I mean, there are a couple things that we didn't really talk about today, but that's mainly because we plan on dedicating more time to them individually down the road
as they come
and
out.
Some of these other things we're going to dedicate more time down the road too. This was some kind of things, an overview,
right? But some of the things that we didn't hit, of course, as these things start to arrive in stores and be released, we will spend more time talking about them, of course. So there's that. And just want to mention again, Uber Sticks. Just want to say
Uber cool.
Yeah,
let's take a break.
And with that, we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 182, Toy Fair 2010, part 3, Finn. Everyone around you was. Attention Geek Stuff listeners, do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKev'sGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 182, New York Toy Fair 2010, part 3, Finn. Last time I have to say that shit for a year.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about the synopses for Captain America, the First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Gilligan's Island, the movie. Space Invaders, the movie. Thing, the prequel. We talked about Angelina Jolie, not in Wanted 2.
We talked about Marvel's not-so-astonishing new line of books. We also talked about our own censorship issues with regards to Marvel.
Yes.
You know, I just want to say, you know that really hurts us. You know, it really, we're right on the line.
We don't want to be responsible.
Stupid responsibility. You know who's a responsible guy?
Who?
Moon Knight.
Word.
That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So, yeah.
We also talked about a couple of DVDs that came out this week. A couple of pretty big releases, important releases.
Yes, 2012, the 2-disc special edition on Blu-ray. And Where the Wild Things Are, a many-disced version also on Blu-ray.
Also, almost all of the Miyazaki stuff out on Blu-ray this week.
That's right.
But not some of the other stuff. Why, we don't know.
Comics to check out this week. The Phantom Generations number 9. Kevin Smith's Green Hornet number 1. Zorro number 20. And Detective 862.
We also hit upon something we haven't talked about in a little bit, but excited to bring it back to the show. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, our advanced look at the Player's Handbook 3 coming out March 16th to a gaming or specialty store near you. It's Player's Handbook 3, Psionic, Divine, and Primal Heroes. Check that out over at dndinsider.com, letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And we also talked about the Super 7 Stormtrooper Shogun Warrior piece that's coming out very soon. We're very excited about it. Can't wait to see what it looks like and let you people know how. If is it really worth the $300? I'm going on record saying I think it probably is.
Why don't you give us your opinion on what you think on the Super Soldier price? Give us a shout, 425-920-6050. And maybe there's a prize at random.
There is a
for
prize.
A caller.
Oh, no, there's a prize.
There's always a prize.
In fact,
prize closet.
In fact,
getting to be a prize store.
Prizes every week from this point on. Significant prize. This week's prize, we said last week, a random prize winner from last week. Now, we've just recently posted episode 181, and we apologize for the technical difficulties. We'll get to that in a minute. But we will announce that week 181's winner and 182's winner next week. So there will be two winners, both prizes coming from our pals at ThinkGeek.com. You never heard of ThinkGeek.com?
How have you not heard of ThinkGeek.com?
Well, if you watched The Big Bang Theory this week, you saw their personal soundtrack shirt, a ThinkGeek product. Maybe a prize available on this program. That's all I'm saying. So there it is. Go over, call the hotline, let us know what you think of the Super 7 Stormtrooper Shogun, and you're winning a prize. Maybe, if we pick yours. As to the technical difficulties, and to again announce next week's episode 183, Big Kev Begathon 2010, we're asking for your help in helping us to maintain the integrity of this program. From a technological standpoint, we'll work on the other side of the integrity part by going over to the website and making us a donation. You'll find a donation button over there on the right side of the page towards the top-ish. Any amount, of course, will be well loved and received by you. We're going to have some tiered levels of giving where we will put the names of the people. If you'd rather do it anonymously, you can just say, please make this anonymous, and so on and so forth. And we will list those things. There will be some special giveaway opportunities and other things coming up next week for the Begathon. So there it is. Begathon.
Segment 2 tonight. We finished off Toy Fair.
Yes.
We talked about DC, NECA, Shocker, Uber sticks, idols. I think that's it.
Sure,
done.
You didn't miss any?
Nope.
Okay,
that's it. We're done.
Sure.
Nope. We're done.
Okay. Good.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, including all of our live from Studio V's T-shirts still for sale, and many, many goings on.
And with that, Just Mike, if he was here, would probably tell you how awful it is to be watching Lost, even though we haven't mentioned Lost all day.
And good night.
And on that note, we cue the music.